and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of that boring financial stuff. And this week's going to be no exception. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And since we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning, our clients are primarily people over the age of 50 who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, this show is designed for you. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually for the 7th year in a row.
Shazam!
Shazam is right, Gomer. It's a big Shazam. And I am honored, I am flattered by that, but without our clients, I would be absolutely nowhere. We would be nowhere. So we thank our clients from the bottom of our heart. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So
first, we have a big show for you tonight.
We do, Ed. Ed Sullivan. Remember him? And he had Topo Gigio. You don't remember him? Oh my gosh, I used to watch the Ed Sullivan show every Sunday night. I guess that shows my age, does it not? Anyway, let's talk about what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of personal finance, of retirement planning. So first of all, we're going to talk about what causes a recession and a bear market that goes with it. What causes that? Okay, because right now there's a lot of talk about, are we late cycle? Are we early cycle? You know, this is the longest running bull market in history. When's it going to come to an end? It's the longest running expansion in history. Is it going to come to an end and it's going to crash and all these worries in the market and all this stuff? So I'm going to go over with you what causes recessions. And in most cases, when you have a recession, you have a bear market as well. Okay, so we'll talk about that to help you to be more informed. And not only that, but way more interesting at a cocktail party. Also this week, we're going to talk about 10 basics of investing. Most shows would basically maybe give you 5 or 6. No, we don't. We give you the full Monty. We're going to give you the 10 basics of investing. Okay, so you're going to need all 10 of those. And then we're going to talk also about how to calculate the break-even age for when you take Social Security. Okay, so this is a question we often get, you know, well, if I take it at 62 or I take it at 66 or 70, you know, if I wait when I do that, how do I calculate when I break even on each of those different times? Because if you take it at 62, you start collecting earlier, but you collect less. If you wait till 66, you collect more, but you collect it for fewer years. So where's that break even age? And we're going to help you to calculate that. Okay, so we'll have that. Now, also, since we are a retirement planning firm, Retirement Planners of America, we work primarily with people who are either within 5 years of retirement or who are 5 years into their retirement. So during that 10-year period, that's where most of our clients lie. And one of the most important things that we believe is that preservation of your money is job number one. Okay, we all want to grow our money, and so do we, and there's no question with regard to that. But what's the most important thing? If you've worked 20, 30 years to build up what you're going to retire on and you lose half of it, like some people did in Y2K and in 2008, then that makes it very difficult for you to retire. And if you are retired and that happens to you, it makes it very difficult for you to stay retired. So, therefore, protecting what you've spent your lifetime building, I think, is a very important thing. So we have a strategy that we call buy, hold, and protect, which basically means that we want to buy and hold. We want to buy good investments. We want to diversify. We want to rebalance. We want to do all those things. But we also want to have a strategy to get out and protect principal when we see bad times coming. Now, buy, hold says that that's not a good idea. And the reason why buy, hold says it's one of the reasons is that because you're a long-term investor. And if you look at long term, everything has taken care of itself, and you don't need to worry about it. Okay? Just go get in a hammock and sip mint juleps and just relax. You're stressed out, man. Well, I want to tell you why that is so wrong for someone who is in that 10-year period. And if you're in that 10-year period, we want to talk about why buy and hold could be a disaster for you, especially if you think you're a long-term investor. Okay? So we'll have that for you later on in the show. Now, you know what, Jack? Most shows would actually stop right there. Most shows would say, if we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show. Wow, where did you find that? That was actually, ladies and gentlemen, that was me on my first day on the job as a financial advisor. I came into work. I was buff at the time. I came in my loincloth, and I was summarily sent home. It was not the proper attire, shall we say, for doing financial advising. But anyway, do we stop right there? No, we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. So this is the part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor, and that, of course, is called estate planning. And so we're going to talk this week about life insurance. Okay, and you may have heard that life insurance is tax-free. Well, it actually is not tax-free. It is potentially highly taxable. And we're going to talk about how that could be the case if you have life insurance. So stay tuned for that at about 10 till. So you have a great show, and I hope you will be with us for the entire program. Before we dive in, I got to tell you something cute that happened. Okay, and it always, I always love getting things like this. I was sent a video and of a grandson. And the grandson is 3 years old. And of course, for those of you who have three-year-old grandboys, you know how active they can be, right? They're like little dynamos. And this particular one is a dynamo. He's got energy galore. He's like, he doesn't sit still for more than 3 seconds. And so grandpa decided to calm him down by giving him a bowl of cereal to eat. So he's videotaping, but he still wouldn't sit still. And grandpa watches my video, my weekly market alert video. And so he was watching it, and grandson said, you know, can I watch that? So grandpa turned the iPad over and had the grandson watch it. And it had the most amazing calming effect. It's the funniest video. This grandson, all of a sudden, he's just calmed down. He stops talking, and he's munching away on his cereal, and he's like mesmerized. And my videos are only, maybe 4 or 5 minutes long. So when it was over, he pressed the button on the iPad to replay and watched it again, and then pressed the button on the replay. He watched it 3 times in a row. This is going to be a financially astute grandson. That's all I got to say. Anyway, so if you haven't watched my videos, they'll have a calming influence over you, okay? So that you don't need drugs, you don't need Xanax or anything like that. Just watch my videos and eat your bowl of cereal. Anyway, let's talk about, because one of the things that seems to be top of mind right now with investors, with the markets and all of that is, when's the next recession coming? And we've heard some of the largest investment houses saying, well, it's 2020. Everybody's got a date when they think it's coming. So what causes recessions? And recessions generally are preceded by 6 months by a bear market. So what happens is that stock market investors are very fearful beings, and they're always looking into the future for what could hurt them. Okay, and they're very skittish. They're kind of like the deer in the weeds looking for the lion. So they're always sniffing the wind. They're very skittish. They're really nervous because they don't know where that lion is. And the lion, of course, is a recession and a bear market. So they're always looking for that. And the moment they think there's something out there, they run. And that's the same thing with stock market investors. So almost always, what you see is the stock market starts to go down 6 months ahead of the recession. And it happened in Y2K, it happened in 2008. The stock market starts to go down, the S&P, about 6 months before the recession starts. And it goes into a bear market because it's anticipating what's going to happen. Investors don't react to what's happening, they react to what they think is going to happen. Okay? So what causes a recession so that you can kind of try to, see it in advance, right? To be one of those deer that sees that lion in the weeds. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think that it is oversupply? Do you think it's that we have too much stuff or not enough customers that causes recessions?
Not enough customers.
See, most people would say not enough customers. You run out of customers, and so now you got to cut back. Well, that's not the case. The case is that in most situations, it is an oversupply. Think of real estate. Okay, think of a place where people build real estate because there's so much demand. They're building, and then all of a sudden there's just too much supply, and all of a sudden there's not enough customers, and all those builders have to start selling off their property or laying off people. Think of the technology companies when they were building up into Y2K. There was such a huge demand for technology that all these companies came in and we built up, and then all of a sudden there wasn't any need for any more. We had an oversupply of technology, and all those companies went out of business. 90% of them saw their stock market, their stock price fall rapidly. So it is an oversupply that tends to cause recessions. And what do we have an oversupply of right now that is one of the most dangerous kinds of recessions? And that is debt. We have $233 trillion of debt out there in the whole world, according to the International Monetary Fund. $233 trillion, the largest amount of supply of debt in the history of ever. And that is, in my view, what's going to be the big thing that's going to cause the markets to have a massive bear market when that debt comes due. And it's debt is dangerous. So, ladies and gentlemen, as a person who is retired or retiring soon, number one, make sure you're diversified, in my view. Number two, make sure that you are rebalancing to control your risk. Number three, make sure you have a strategy to get out and protect yourself from the next bear market. And then the other thing is have a professional help you with that. So how do you do all of those things? Well, go to our website. Our website is rpoa.com, okay, retirementplannersofamerica.com, rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can sign up for a seminar, a webinar. You can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners. There's lots of resources available to you to improve your financial life, and we'd love to help you if we can. So rpoa.com, rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the 10 basics of investing. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. And so therefore, our clients are primarily people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to help you if we can. And so in 2015, Forbes named our financial advisory firm one of the top 100 wealth managers. And we are so proud of that designation. But you know what? Without our clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. So we know on which side of the toast our butter is on. So all you clients listening, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we're going to talk now about the 10 basics of investing. And you know, Jack, most shows, they'd give you what, five, top five? Maybe top seven? No, we're going to give you 10, ladies and gentlemen. We're going all the way, all right? But we got to go fast, right? Is that what you're saying, Jack? Okay, we're going to go fast. All right, number one, be sure you follow the basics, not human emotions, okay? Most people chase returns, and if it has already had a good run-up, it is most likely too late, okay? So the first thing is follow basics. The basics are you want to look at value. And if something has run up dramatically already, don't chase after it. That's usually not a good idea, okay? So make sure you do that. Number two, look below the surface. Investigate before you invest. You know, it's the old thing. Don't judge a book by its cover. Open the book, look inside. Number three, avoid greed. So despite what Michael Douglas said in that movie years ago, greed is not good, okay? Greed makes you buy things you shouldn't. You stop listening to your common sense. You just get all, you just want it, right? You get greedy. Number four, always invest. Investments must grow faster than inflation. Okay, so when you're looking at your investing, especially for retired or retired soon people, you want to build a portfolio that's going to provide you an income that's going to keep up with inflation. So as long as you're doing that, you should be in good shape. Number five, when interest rates go up, remember bonds generally go down and vice versa. So in a diversified portfolio, we believe you should have bonds in there. And so what you have to look at that when you have bonds is that when interest rates are going down, bond values tend to go up. And when interest rates are going up, bond values tend to go down. And right now we're in a period where people are talking about, I saw one of the largest investment houses say that there are going to be five rate cuts before the end of next year. And this is one of the largest banks in the country, very famous. So they're thinking we're headed into a slower economy, and so therefore rates are going to go down and bonds should do well in that environment. Number six, diversify. Now, this one's important because diversification means essentially don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to not be subject to one area taking you down. So when you diversify, it depends on your risk profile. And one of the things that we do with clients is we look at what we call your cash flow plan. We look at how much cash flow you're going to need from your investments, therefore what rates, how much risk is appropriate for you to take with your investments to satisfy that, and then you build a diversification plan appropriately. So that's number six. How am I doing on time, Jack? Am I doing well? Ooh, okay. Number seven, know how your investments are taxed. Okay, different investments have different taxes. And so you need to be knowledgeable about how it's going to affect your taxes. Number eight, use the magic of compounding. Okay, the time value of money. I think it was Albert Einstein who said, you know, what is it? The eighth wonder of the universe is compounding. And so use time to your advantage. Start as soon as possible. There's never a better time than now to get started. Number nine, don't fall in love with an investment, okay? You should be in love with your spouse, okay? With your significant other, your kids, there are places where love is appropriate, but when it comes to your investments, don't fall in love with them. You know, some people, they have an investment, they made a good call, you know, they bought Amazon, you know, 10 years ago, and they're so happy with it, but now they're in love with it. And there comes a point where it doesn't matter what that stock does or that investment does, they're so in love with it, they can't ever sell it. Well, you know what? There may come a point where you should not be in love anymore, okay? It's time to move on, and you should sell that. Number 10, and number... Oh, I like it. Okay, that's good. Number 10 is actually the most self-serving of all of the above, okay? And number 10 is don't do all of this yourself, okay? Because what you may have noticed is that a lot of these, of the previous nine, are... emotion, right? Greed, falling in love, all those kind of things. And it's difficult to do that yourself. It's easy to have a second party or a third party help you with it. So my recommendation is hire an expert. Work with a retirement planner that can help counter all these emotions that you have. And then also someone that can help you, you know, take things off the table and not be in love anymore and protect yourself from more harm, okay? So how do you do that? Well, guess what? Our firm is Retirement Planners of America. No timpani for that, okay? We do specialize in working with people who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, we'd love to meet with you and see if we can help you. And, you know, if we can help you, that is fantastic. And if we cannot, you know what? That's fine, too. There's no charge or obligation, and we will part friends. Now, if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com, rpoa.com, Retirement Planners of America. And if you go to the website, you can sign up to meet with one of our retirement planners, meet with an advisor, or you can sign up to watch our webinar. We have a webinar on retirement planning that I think you'll like. We also have seminars that you can attend in person if you'd like. We have all kinds of resources available to you. And we want to help you with a variety of topics. One is, do you have enough money to retire on? Okay, so we call that your magic number. We want to help you to calculate your magic number. We also have five strategies that you can use to reduce your income taxes. If you're retired or retiring soon, these are strategies designed for you in that category. We also talk about how to maximize your retirement cash flow. You need income from your investments, most likely. So how do you maximize that? Should you roll over your 401k? Should you leave it where it is? What are those? There are important considerations both ways. And it may be better to just leave it where it is. It may be better to roll it over. We also talk about when should you take Social Security? When you're 62, 66, when you're 70? Lots of things about that. And also, we're going to talk about the fact that the IRS, yeah, those guys, they want to tax 85% of your Social Security benefits, 85%. We want to show you how to beat that if it's at all possible. So we have tons of information. We're going to talk about how much can you afford to spend when you are retired, okay? How much can you spend? And we'll help you address that. So lots of great information on our website, at our webinar, at our seminars, or if you want to talk in person and have a retirement planner work with you to develop a plan, all at no charge or obligation. So our website, again, is rpoa.com, rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to calculate Social Security break-even age and lots more. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And ladies and gentlemen, on this show, we like our bonds shaken and not stirred. And apparently all those other financial shows, they stir their bonds. Can you imagine what Sean Connery would say if he knew about this? You do not want an angry Sean. Anyway, we are back. I am Ken Moraif, the host. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I am senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. And so our clients are primarily people who are retired or retiring soon, who are over 50. And if that is you, then this show is designed for you. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors, actually for the third time this year. Just found out about a month ago that we got that designation, and we're very proud of that. But you know what? Without our clients, we would be nowhere, so we know who to thank for that. And clients, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so, so grateful. We're going to talk now about a topic that comes up quite a bit when you're visiting with clients and prospective clients, and that is, you know, if I start taking Social Security early, you know, if I would take it at 62 or I take it at 66, you know, I don't wait till I'm 70, you know, then when's the break even? How long does it take for me to get back to even versus having taken it early? And so that's a very good question. And so we're going to endeavor to answer that question now. Okay, so let's.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I think that's a little intense for a Social Security conversation right there. But okay, we'll do that. All right. So the break-even age is essentially it's a simple calculation. If you're a financial type, right? It's a net present value that is often used to determine whether you should begin or delay getting your benefits. The general concept that I want you to get about Social Security and taking it early or later is this. They want to pay you the same amount of money regardless of when you take it, okay? So what they're doing is they're basing it on your life expectancy. So if you take it at 62 and they figure they're going to pay you all the way to your life expectancy, then what it means is they're going to pay you a lower amount because you're going to get more payments. But the total of the payments will add up to be about the same. If you start at 66, well, they got to pay you more to get what you would have gotten had you started at 62. But they're giving it to for fewer years. So therefore, so you get what I'm saying. You start at 70, and it's the same thing. So basically, what they're doing is they want to pay you the same amount by the time you reach your life expectancy. All right. So that's kind of a background thought that you should have in your head. So let's use an example here, and we'll use Jeff. So Jeff has reached full retirement age, and he's trying to decide whether to begin collecting benefits of $1,000 a month now or delay for 1 year. Okay, and start in 1 year. By delaying 1 year, his benefit will increase by 8%, because that's what happens. Every year that you wait after when you're at your normal retirement age, they increase your benefit by 8%. So if he waits 1 year, instead of getting $1,000, he'll get $80 more. He'll get $1,080. Okay, so the question he would ask is, how long is it going to take me? I gave up $1,000 for that 1 month, but I'm gaining $80 a month by doing that. So how long is it going to take me to get back that money? So essentially, he forfeited $1,000 times 12, $12,000, and what's he gaining? $80 a month. So we're going to ignore the time value of money in this conversation just to tell you. So you take $12,000 divided by the $80 that he gave up, and that gives you 150 months, so 12 and a half years. So he waits 1 month, it takes him 12 and a half years. He gives up 1 year, and it takes him 12 and a half years to get back to even. So he can decide whether he thinks he's going to live beyond 12 and a half years. If so, it would make sense to delay. If not, then it would not. Okay? So you're making some assumptions. You're going to live those years. And so your health has to come into that conversation. But essentially what you do is you take the increase per month and you take the amount you gave up, divide one into the other, and it'll give you the number of years it takes you to break even. So it's a pretty simple calculation. And one that hopefully will help you in your decision-making as to when to start Social Security. Now, one of the things that we always say, if you need the money, all right? Now, we have clients, for example, they need the money. So starting at 62 is the right answer, even though waiting might be a better deal for somebody who doesn't need the money right away. For you, it does. So it's a complicated situation. And it's one that you should not do without guidance. You should talk to a professional. So here's what I'd recommend. If you go to our website, it's rpoa.com, rpoa.com, Retirement Planners of America. And when you're there, you can click on Meet with an Advisor, and one of our retirement planners would be happy to sit down with you and look at the decisions that you need to make with regard to Social Security. When should you take it? If you're married, there are options in terms of how you're going to take it. Should you take it, you know, you can take half of your spouse's potentially. So how do you structure that? When do you take it? All those things. A lot of different ways to do it, and one of them is probably the best one for you out of hundreds, if not thousands, of choices. Okay? So if you go to our website, lots of information on there about Social Security, when to take it, how to take it. We have webinars, we have podcasts, we have articles, and most importantly, the ability to meet with one of our retirement planners to help you with that. So go to rpoa.com and sign up to meet with an advisor. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your long-term investor. Just buy and hold. Everything will be fine. Wrong-o, moose lips. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. We are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And I am Senior Advisor for Retirement Planners of America. And I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And since we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning, our clients are primarily people who are over the age of 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, we'd love to meet you and see if we can help you. And our website is rpoa.com, rpoa.com, Retirement Planners of America. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually for the seventh year in a row. And I am very flattered by that. But you know what? Without our clients, I would be absolutely nowhere. So I know who to thank for that. So clients, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, because we work with people who are 5 years from retirement or 5 years into retirement, that 10-year period, we believe is the single most important financial period of your entire life. And the reason why I say that is because you may have been the best investor in the history of the world for the last 30 years. You made 20% a year every single year. And in fact, there is a bronze statue of you on Wall Street that all the traders, when they walk by, they rub that foot, your bronze foot, just to get the same luck that you had, the same something. And you've accumulated a massive fortune. And then you're going to retire and 1929 hits and you lose 92% of your net worth. Or 2000 hits and you lose 49%, or 2008 hits and you lose 57%, or any of the other bear markets that I could name. Then what happens to your ability to retire? What happens to your ability to stay retired? I think it is going to be massively badly impacted. Wouldn't you agree? So we believe that protecting against those kinds of cataclysmic disruptions is very, very important. I mean, in what walk of life is there no plan for that? Does the coastline not have a plan for hurricanes? Do people in the heartland not have any strategies to address tornadoes? I mean, why is it that in the financial world, you're supposed to just take the hit and do nothing about it, but in every other walk of life, they have contingency plans. They have plans to protect against this. I don't understand why in the investment world, you're supposed to just lose half your money because it's going to come back one day. I don't get that. That's like saying, hey, don't protect yourself from a tornado because don't worry about it. You can rebuild afterwards. I know you just got flattened and the tornado threw you 2,500 feet in the air and you landed on your back and broke all your legs and everything. But hey, we'll put you in rehab. You'll be fine. You'll get better. See, I don't think that makes any sense. So therefore, we don't believe in the notion of buy hold. But buy hold says if you look at long periods of time, if you're a long-term investor, it's taken care of itself in the past, and therefore it will in the future. That's the whole idea. Well, I want to question that because, for example, the Dow Jones went down almost 90% in 1929. And if you were a buy holder, you held through that whole thing. You saw 90%, if you had your money invested in that, you lost 90% of your money. You're sitting there, you had $1 million, you now got $100,000. And the buy hold would say, hey, don't worry about it because it's going to come back one day. Well, how long did it take to come back? The answer is the Dow got back to where it was in 1954. It took 25 years to get back to even. Now, like I said, our average client is 60. So that means getting back to even is 85 years old. Now, wait, aren't you supposed to like live on that money for that 25 years? By the time you're 85, weren't you supposed to go on a cruise or two or play some golf or do something like that? Okay, well, 1929 is kind of ridiculous, okay? That's the worst case scenario. We don't want to do that. So let's look at Y2K. Y2K, the stock market went down, the S&P went down 49%, and it took until 2007 to get back to even. It took 7 years. So during those 7 years, if you were taking money out, then you were doing what farmers call eating your seed corn. You're spending money while your investments are down. And it makes it very hard for your investments to grow during that period if you're taking money out. So then we look at 2008. What happened there? Well, in 2008, it took until 2013 before it got back to even. It took 5 years from the peak to peak. However, here's the interesting thing. If you took the value on January 1st of Y2K of 2000, you rode it all the way down during the tech bubble, and then you rode it all the way up to 2007. Glory, hallelujah, I'm back to even. I finally did it 7 years later. Now I can retire. And then, bam, you got hit in 2008, and it went down, the S&P, 57%. Oops, now I can't retire. I thought I could. Now I can't. And then it came all the way back. It got back to even in 2013. You are back in 2013, the S&P was, where it was in Y2K.
Uh-oh, so, you made a boo-boo.
I believe so. So if you look at the whole picture, it actually took from January of 2000 till 2013. It actually took 13 years to get back above for a sustained period. So during that 13 years, if you were living on that money, if you were retired, or twice you thought you could retire, see, all of that sounds awful to me. Why would you not want to have a strategy to protect yourself from the downsides? And in our firm, we do. At Retirement Planners of America, we have a strategy that we call buy, hold, and protect. And what we do is we want to protect. There are periods of time when you should protect from the downside. And our strategy said to sell in November of 2007, which was before 2008. And our strategy said to stay out all during 2008, during the market crisis and everything else that happened in that year. And actually, our buy signal didn't come until June of 2009. So it was almost a year and a half that we were counseling clients and those of you listening to this show and getting my market alert email to stay out, protect yourself now. So if you are retired or retiring soon, if you're in that 10-year period, 5 years before, 5 years into, that is so important in my view that you have a strategy to protect against big losses. And if you agree with my philosophy, then I encourage you to go to our website. It's rpoa.com, rpoa.com. And while you're there, you can watch videos on our strategy. You can read articles, listen to podcasts, pretty much on any topic we think would help you with your retirement planning. And while you're there, you might as well visit with one of our retirement planners. You can click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you do that, we'll schedule a time to visit. Hopefully, we can help you. If we can, fantastic. And if not, you know what? That's fine, too. No charge or obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And it certainly is, Bogey. We would love to make friends with you. Also, while you're there, if you like, you can go and watch one of our webinars. We have webinars on a variety of topics. We also have, you can sign up to go to one of our seminars. If you go to a seminar, make sure you bring an appetite. We'll have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. You want to have those chocolate chunks. Let me tell you, they are fantastic. And you'll learn about your finances. So a ton of information. Our website is rpoa.com. All right, now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our estate tip of the week, which is on life insurance and how to get that to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs tax-free. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morave. Yeah, we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morave, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morave. Thank you, Jack. I am Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors actually for the third time this year. And so we are so very proud of that. But without our clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. So all you clients listening right now, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And so therefore, our clients are primarily people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, then we would be very interested in meeting with you and seeing if there is a fit. Our website is rpoa.com, rpoa.com. Now, this is the part of the show where we talk about estate planning. This is the act of leaving to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
Yes, we do want happy squirts. There's nothing worse than unhappy squirts, right? And so this week, we're going to be talking about life insurance. Now, you may have heard that life insurance is tax-free. Well, I'm here to tell you it ain't so. Okay, it is income tax free. Yes, there are no income taxes on the proceeds of death benefits from life insurance. However, there could be on the proceeds of the cash value, and there could be estate taxes on the death benefits. So we want to talk about how to beat all of those things. But first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. Though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags. We do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. This week, we're talking about life insurance. And so if you conceptually, this is how the IRS.
Oh my God!
That's a room full of people that don't like the IRS, it sounds like. That was a good one. I like it. But anyway, the IRS considers life insurance an asset that you are transferring to somebody else. Now, you may think you're just buying, you're paying premiums, and upon your death, there's a payment made, but they look at it as if you own that asset. So let's say you have $1 million worth of life insurance. Okay, and upon your death, that $1 million is then given to your daughter, let's say. Okay, so what they see there is that was a $1 million transfer. They look at it as if you owned $1 million home, $1 million stock, $1 million anything, and you now, upon your death, gave that to your child. Okay, so they make that an asset in your estate, life insurance. Pardon me. So, therefore, it is subject to estate taxes. Now, the estate tax limits are pretty high right now, so for most of you, that's not an issue, but depending on the size of your estate, it could be, and in the future, it certainly could be, because I don't know that the exemption levels that Donald Trump put in are going to last forever. It's $12 million per person. I don't think that's going to be around. If you think about, there was a time that I recall not too long ago where anything over $600,000 was subject to estate tax, and now it's $12 million. So it can go either way, right? It can go back down just as quickly as it came up. So how does life insurance, how do they decide whether life insurance is going to be includable in your estate and therefore subject to estate tax? Well, there are three tests. One is, are you the owner of the policy? So if you open up the policy book and it says owner and your name follows, guess what? You're the owner. That's a pretty simple one. The second one is, are you the premium payer? So if you're paying the premiums, then they feel that you have control over that policy, right? So therefore, they make you the owner, even though you may not be the named owner, but because you control it with the money, therefore, they make you the owner. And then the third one is what's called incidence of ownership. In other words, if you have the rights to change who the owner is, you have the right to change who the beneficiaries are, you have the right to change the amount of the insurance. If you can do all those kind of things, whether you're the owner and the premium payer or not, you still have incidence of ownership. So those are, and you don't have to meet all three of those tests. If you meet any one of them, then they consider the life insurance to be part of your estate, okay? So being the owner, premium payer, incidence of ownership. So how do you remove the policy from your estate? Well, you make sure you don't meet any of those tests. And the way you do that is through a trust. And you create what we call an ILIT, an irrevocable life insurance trust. Put the policy in the trust and make the trustee of that policy have the ownership, be the premium payer, and have the incidence of ownership. And therefore, now you don't. And now that policy has been removed from your estate. Okay, so that's how you do it. Now, be aware that if you put an existing policy into a life insurance trust and die within 3 years, they will claw it back because they'll say that you put it in the trust because you knew this contemplation of death. So they say you did it on purpose, right? You put it in there because you knew you were going to die. You wanted to get the life insurance out of your estate and get all those things and not meet those tests, and they'll bring it right back into your estate. So my advice is, if you do the ILIT with an existing policy, don't die for 3 years. Okay, that's my advice. So that's it's good advice, Jack. What are you looking at me for? It's like I give good advice on this show. So that's our estate tip of the week on life insurance this week. Now, what I want you to do, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, I'd like you to go to our website. It is rpoa.com, rpoa.com. And our firm is Retirement Planners of America. And while you're there, you can watch videos, podcasts, you can read articles on estate planning and pretty much any topic that we think would be of benefit to you with regard to your retirement planning. And while you're there, you also have the option to sign up to visit with one of our advisors, also at no charge or obligation. You can go to one of our seminars. We also have webinars that you can watch in the comfort of your own home. So we have lots and lots of great information on there. We'd love to meet you and see if we can help you. Okay, so rpoa.com. Well, you know what? This show is over already. I cannot believe how fast it has gone. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.